Good morning. It's a joy to welcome you to our Lord's Day worship, and we hope that the service is a blessing to you. For our announcements today, we will be having our annual church meeting. Of course, it's all virtual at 1 o'clock. And during the service today, we're doing something a little different. We're not having our lectionary Bible verses. We're going to be talking about our watchword. I have to explain a little bit about watchwords. It's a Moravian custom. Every year at the end of the year, we cut out scripture verses from our daily text and we mount them on cards and ask people to draw a scripture verse. We not only do that for ourselves, but we also do it for the church. And the hope is that the scripture verse will guide us for the coming year. So today you're going to be hearing about Ephraim Moravian's scripture verse for the year. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
Thank you.
Ephraim Moravian watchword for the year is taken from Psalm 32, verse 8. The Lord said, I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Let us sing together, Son of Righteousness. Of worship that we bring our prayer concerns and our praise reports. I have two praise reports. We've been praying for Jack, who had surgery this week. It was a fairly extensive surgery, so I didn't expect to hear from him. But I got a message on my phone on Friday, and it was from Jack. And Jack said, I'm doing well. I'm eating breakfast. He said, of course, it's liquid. But he was so grateful for the prayers and the support. And we're so grateful for God, to God, that he went through the surgery so well. We ask for continued prayers for Jack. We also have a praise report from a lady that we were praying for last year. Her name is Molly. And Molly had a very poor prognosis. The doctors didn't know if she would make it. Well, she's home, and she's doing so wonderfully well, and her doctors have labeled her progress a miracle. And so we're so grateful to God for Molly. For our prayer concerns, we want to remember this day, the Capitol Police Force. We know that the riot happened several weeks ago, but there's great collateral damage. Not only with the police officers who were injured, there was one who was killed during the riot, and there have been two since that have committed suicide. So let's remember our people in uniform, and especially the Capitol police officers today. We want to remember in our prayers Jeff, who is recovering from surgery. And unfortunately, his brother-in-law, Russell, has died. So let us remember Jeff and his entire family in our prayers today. We also want to remember the family of Danette Hatch. Danette entered the nearer presence of the Savior this week. We have continued prayers for Tammy, for Jewel Ann, for Ray, for Kevin, for Susan, for Kathy, for Mark, for Rhea, Dean, Jaden, and Madeline. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we are so grateful today, so grateful that Jack is feeling better, so grateful for the skilled hands of the surgeons. We ask that you would continue to heal and strengthen him. So grateful to hear of Molly's miracle. We ask that you would continue to undergird her life. We bring before you our men and women in uniform, and especially those who serve at the Capitol. We ask that you would lead them through this trauma and grant to them your grace. We ask that you would be with Jeff and his family as they mourn the loss of Russell, that you would give to them your mercy. for the family and friends of Danette Hatch, that they might know that underneath them are the everlasting arms. And for all those whom we've mentioned today that continue to be in need of your healing mercy and your grace, we lift them to you this day, O Lord, knowing that you are a God of mercy and of love. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Scripture lesson is taken from Psalm 32. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through all my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you at a time of distress. The rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, Dan Olson provided the reflection, and he's looking at one part of Scripture, and then I'll look at the other, so you're going to get two sermons for the price of one. His is a little shorter. He labels it, Confession is Good for the Soul. Recently, I had a doctor's appointment to continue treatment for a chronic condition that never seems to improve. You might say I was loaded for bear because I wasn't a happy camper. Then things got bad. In my shy sort of way, I made it perfectly clear that I was getting no help. I informed them that I was being poorly treated, and they weren't terribly concerned about it. It wasn't a pretty picture. I stamped out of the clinic, convinced I had accomplished my purpose. For a day or two, I enjoyed my anger. But then, at the prompting of the Spirit, my guilty conscience went into overdrive. I realized I had made a fool of myself and wouldn't have been surprised if I was invited not to come back. I had a follow-up visit with that same provider a few days later, and I didn't look forward to our meeting. The whole situation tortured me until the day I went into the examining room and sheepishly said I was truly sorry and asked for forgiveness. The relief I felt in that moment was overwhelming. If only I'd had Psalm 32 in mind that day, where the psalmist said, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sin." I learned, and probably not for the last time, that walking in God's word and living it sheds light into our path and overwhelms our darkness. Oh, by the way, the medical provider and I are still friends. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This particular scripture verse, I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you, has been a personal one for me for about 40 years, give or take. And so I want to tell you about the scripture verse that has been given to the church, but also to me in my early 20s. I hope you'll indulge me while I tell you the story. In my early 20s, I thought that I had my life mapped out in front of me. I knew what I wanted to do. I had trained for it. I felt fairly confident in my skills. And then everything was upended. And when I got into my field of study, I realized that that's not where I wanted to be. I was floundering for a few years. And I didn't know where I belonged, what my purpose was. And fortunately, I had a mother who prayed. Now, I prayed too, but my prayers were more of an extended whine. Like, why me? You like everybody else better. Why can't my life come into focus? My mother was in her bedroom one day praying, and afterwards she came out, running out to me, very excited. And she said, Dawn, I was on my knees praying for you. And as I prayed, a verse of scripture came into my head, and it was, I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And when I got up from prayer, I turned on the radio. Of course, she always had it on a Christian radio station. And I heard the same scripture verse. So that's the verse for you. And this wonderfully pious daughter said, yeah, right. That was just coincidence, Mom. What do you know? And I rolled my eyes in my head. On Sunday, went to church. Now, the church that I attended was not so regimented as Moravians, and there was a little more freedom of movement and speech. And someone got up in that service, someone I did not know, did not meet him before or after, and that person said, and I quote, my child, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye upon you. Well, then that got my attention. Figured three times is the charm. Now, I have to tell you, dear friends, that that did not mean that everything fell into place for me. It didn't mean that a divine roadmap came into my hands and I said, oh, yeah, that's how I should go. And I have to tell you, there were times that the next verse came into play about do not be like a horse or mule, and you have to have a bit and bridle so that you get led around by the nose, because that did happen to me. But I can say that after that, when I look back on those 40 years, in the good times, in the bad times, when I did the right things, even when I made mistakes, I can see the hand of God guiding. It's a powerful lesson for us that God has promised to instruct us and teach us the way we should go. And God always promises to have God's eye on us. Reminds me of when toddlers are just beginning to walk and the parents have a careful watch on that toddler, helping the toddler to walk, but also being ready to catch that little one when they falter and fall and wipe their tears when they cry. So what does that mean for the church? This is not just an individual thing that, well, God will guide you in your purpose in life. But I think it's especially timely in this time that we are in the, as the church. For you see, we thought we had figured church out, especially here at Ephraim Moravian. I figured I knew what church was about. Church was about a Sunday gathering. We'd sing our hearts out in the sanctuary. And up in our nursery, the service was piped in. Well, the nursery attendants half the time couldn't even hear over the din of the children playing, but the little ones were listening. And what they were listening for was this lady would drone on, and then she'd pray and say amen. And when they heard the tones of the hymn, they knew it was cleanup time, and they could run downstairs and get dessert. Church was in our fellowship hall when people would be chatting and talking and our kids would be running around in a sugar rush. Church was also after the 10 o'clock worship and the fellowship when some of our folks would take the flowers to a shut-in and have church with them gathered in a home. Church was when I and our accompanist Barbara would go to SCAN, the nursing home, and we'd have extended church there, and we'd sing the songs and preach the sermon that was preached here on Sunday morning. Church was midweek when I go out to coffee with somebody. Church meant gathering together. And of course now, we've been told gathering together and singing could kill you. So what's church? And what's been amazing to me is church has broken open into something wondrous. For you see, if you are sitting at your kitchen table today talking with me, that's church. That's become a holy place. If you're in your bedroom, if you're at an office desk, that has become church. That's become a holy place. It is fulfilling what Jesus said about those who worship God will worship him in spirit and in truth. And yes, we long for the day that we can gather, but we are still church. It is so much harder for me to talk to a camera than to talk to a room full of people, because at least with a room full of people, I know if somebody starts nodding off that I have to wrap it up. When I talk to a room full of people, I can see the exchange on their faces. I don't know what's happening there, but I have to have faith that the Holy Spirit of God is still working. And when we can gather again, may we not lose that understanding that sacredness is all around us. God is breaking something open in the church. I remember when my mother was describing her home life with two very devout parents. And the only way she could describe it was to say, Jesus was the air we breathed. She didn't talk about them taking them to church. She was talking about home. And so in this time, God has given us this watchword for this year. God will instruct us and teach us the way we should go. God will guide us with God's eye upon us. Will we follow wherever the Spirit leads this year? Let us pray. Lord, it's a time that none of us would have anticipated. We're in a time where some of us are very badly frightened and distressed. We pray that the calming spirit of Almighty God would come upon us and that we would indeed follow wherever you lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God go before you to lead you. God go behind you to protect you. God go beneath you to support you. God go beside you to befriend you. Do not be afraid. May the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you. Do not be afraid. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.